want you to know today that many times we pray for the miraculous to take place. We want God to supernaturally change things instantaneously. I mean, that would be the best way, wouldn't it? When you come in sick, bam, you get healed and you walk out. And we ought to believe that. But there are other times when God doesn't do things miraculously. He does them supernaturally. That means God has to put His super on the natural circumstance that you're walking through. And I want you to know that God is a burden bearer. And He will take you through, whether it's miraculous, instantaneous, or whether He puts His super on the natural process. How many know that God is able? I believe that God is able. And He wants to make a triumphal entry into your life, into your family, into your situation. And I want to share with you some principles that I believe are essential. If you and I are going to believe God for victory, if we're going to forge our way into triumph, here's a number of items that you must consider. Number one, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. Now thanks be to God, who always leads us in triumph in Christ. I like that. He always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge on every place. Verse 15. For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing. To the one we are the aroma of death, leading to death. And to the other the aroma of life, leading to life. And who is sufficient for these things? For we are not as so many peddling the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as from God, we speak in the sight of God and in Christ. I like Paul's faith. He already declared, I want to thank Jesus right now, who always leads me into triumph. It might look like you're lost. It may appear to you, as you view my circumstance, that I'm losing. It might even appear to the world that God has forgotten about you. But you better get a hold of this scripture. Because Paul said, I thank my God who always leads me into triumph. You see, this world doesn't know where triumphant lifestyle is. This world doesn't know where the victory lies, but Christ Himself, He will lead you into triumph. Number one, out of that particular verse, we read this. I want to thank God who leads me into triumph through Christ. The first principle is life in Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ means this, the anointed one. And His anointing. So you and I, if we're going to forge our way through victory, if we're going to find the pathway that leads us to triumph, we are going to have to be in Christ. We're going to have to be in the anointing and the anointed one. We're to be in Him, not around Him. We need to be in Him, not just close to Him. There's no possibility of victory outside of the anointed one and His anointing. To be in Christ literally means this, to be one with Him, to be yielded to Him. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 2, he said, I want to know this about you. I want to declare this about me. It's no longer I. Oh my goodness, can we get that down in America? It's no longer I. Can we get that down in the local church? It's no longer I, me, myself, and I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Who lives in me. It's the anointed one in His anointing that lives in me. That's taken up residence in me. You see, to be in Christ means to be in His Word. To be in Christ means to be yielded to the Holy Spirit. That means you and I do nothing until first we get a witness of the Holy Spirit. Church, I want to beckon you. I want to beseech you. I want to beg of you. Please, today, do not live your life apart from the yieldings of the Holy Spirit. Without His wooing, without His direction. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Secondly, not only life in Christ, but you and I need the wisdom of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14b reads this. Now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. The second principle that will lead you into triumph is the wisdom of God. Say that with me. The wisdom of God. The guiding principle in the Christian life is the truth revealed in His Word. Let me help you understand something. When you read your Bible, you're not reading words on a page. You and I are reading, unlike any other book, unlike any other material on the face of the earth. Hear me now. You are reading, and as you are reading, there is being truth being revealed. Truth is being manifest to you as you read. You see, it's sort of like opening up a bottle. The contents of that bottle. And when you open it up, when you take the lid off, when you pop the cork, you now are able to drink of the contents of that vessel. It is that way with the Word of God. The Word of God is like the bottle. The Word of God is like the vessel, like the container, that when you begin to read it, as you are in Christ, you take the top off, and the contents of the Word of God is the knowledge of the Lord. It is the truth of God's Word that comes alive in your spirit. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot live apart from the truth of God's Word. Not just the reading of God's Word. Do you understand what I'm saying? People could say, well, I've read the Bible. I got nothing from it. My friend, the reason being is in order to get something from it, you have to take the cap off of it. And you can't do that in yourself. You and I, as a human, cannot take that up responsibility on ourselves. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to unleash the wisdom and knowledge of the living Word of God into our spirits. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 2. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. To read this word is to walk in its truth. Don't tell me you read the Bible unless you're walking the Bible. Unless you're living the Bible. Friend, you may be reading it, but you're not drinking it. You may be holding it, but you're not partaking of it. You may have the glass or the bottle of water, but until you can uncork it and receive of its contents, the knowledge of God will escape you. It is, if any man be in Christ, now he can partake of the wisdom of God. I'm talking about steps to a triumphal life. Number three, the fragrance of Christ. This is in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, our text, verse 15. It says this, "For we are to God the fragrance of Christ among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing." The fragrance of Christ. We all know that the beautiful rose has a fragrance, and upon its crushing, it becomes that much more. It becomes that much more effective when it's crushed. And here the Bible tells us, Paul is saying, you want victory? Here's how you get victory. It's created when you die to yourself. Ephesians 5:12. We are the fragrance of Christ, but the fragrance cannot be omitted. The fragrance of Christ cannot be released until there's a crushing, until there's a dying. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, a sweet-smelling aroma. Christ's love was manifest to the world. How? Through His death. Through Christ's death is where the world inhaled the eternal love of God. Until He died, there was no fragrance of Christ. Until the church dies to self, there will be no fragrance of God's love on this planet, in this city, in your home. You see, to die to self is to produce the aroma we call love. That's why a local ministry can have all of the trappings of a church and yet not smell the aroma and fragrance of Christ, which is love. That's why a family can go to church and name Christ, but because they haven't died to self, you feel and sense no love from them. What good is the kingdom of man working alongside the kingdom of God without love? Paul said it this way: if I give my body to be burned, if I give all my worldly goods, if I do this and I do that and I prophesy, but I don't have love, I'm like a tingling cymbal. I'm like a clanging noisemaker. Come on, church. You want triumph? You want victory in your life? Then let the fragrance of Christ ooze from your life. And there's only one way. It's through the death of self. He goes on to say, number four, establish a difference. 2 Corinthians 2:16. I like this particular scripture because he said, to the one who are the aroma of death leading to death, and to the other the aroma of life leading to life. Isn't it interesting? One person can smell death and the other can smell life in your presence. What is this? This mystical aroma called the love of God. The Bible says this: we diffuse His fragrance. When we die to self, we are testaments of His love. When we die to self, we release the fragrance of God's mercy upon the earth. But to one, it's life. But to the other, it's death. In other words, when you and I die to self and we are releasing the aroma of Christ, which is His love, we draw the line in the sand. We are difference makers. We're like the spirit of Caleb. We're unlike everybody else. We can be picked out in a crowd. Has anyone ever come up to you and accused you of being a Christian? When's the last time someone tapped you on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, are you a believer? I just smell something about you." And it's not your Chanel number 5. It's not your latest love potion. I said something about you. It's the fragrance of Christ. But oh, for those who are perishing, it is a most offensive odor. Who do you think you are wearing that fragrance in here? Get out! You think you're better than we are? Do you think there's only one way to heaven? Come on, I can't stand you Christians. An amazing thing that this fragrance attracts and repels. And if you're not doing both, you haven't yet died to self. If you get along with the perishing, and you get along with the living, then something's not smelling right. I smell a rat right up here in church. Look at your neighbor and just sniff. No, don't do that. We said the steps to a triumphal life. Number one, life in Christ. Number two, the wisdom of God. Number three, the fragrance of Christ. Number four, establish a difference. And number five, Stay true to the Word. Say that with me. Stay true to the Word. One more time. Stay true to the Word. Paul wrote in this text, 2 Corinthians 2 and verse 17, "For we are not as so many peddling the Word of God, but as of sincerity. But as from God, we speak in the sight of God in Christ." King James said it this way in 2 Corinthians 4 and 2, "Not handling the Word of God deceitfully." We're talking about steps to a triumphal life, a triumphal marriage, a triumphal parenting experience, a triumphal business. These are steps that will take you into triumph, because you're not going to automatically wake up in the morning and go, "Whoa, I'm triumphal this morning." You might be saying it by faith, but you may be experientially totally defeated. But watch this. I want to thank God who always leads me to triumph. Listen, if I have to be led somewhere, that means I'm not there yet. So I may have woke up this morning under, but I know I'm not going to stay there, because I understand the steps to triumph. I know this, that God is leading me from and to. Ladies and gentlemen, God will lead you as well. You know, it's interesting. I saw this morning a great illustration. The donkey didn't want to go. Had two handlers and it didn't want to move. And I don't know about Jesus, but he was kicking the donkey. And then that beautiful, young, frail little girl walked up behind it and smacked it on its rump. Pow! Did you see that? I said, "Oh God, don't let the donkey buck off Jesus." That would have been some sight. Ruin the whole pageant. You know, sometimes we're sort of stubborn like that donkey. God wants to lead us into triumph, but we don't want to move.
Right. Amen.
So he raises up preacher boys to kick your underbelly once in a while, and to come on the backside and give you a little smack on the rump to get you moving. If you will take the steps, you'll find yourself in triumph. Now, it's interesting, there are six steps I'm giving you today. Six being the number of man. Six being the number of steps that David took the second time he brought the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. And stopped at six. And there they offered sacrifices and brought the worshipers together and began to praise God. And the next step they took was the step into glory. Step number seven. You see, if you'll take the first six, he will lead you into the last. You take the first six steps and he'll bring you into triumph. He'll bring you into victory. But stay true to the Word of God. He said, don't handle the Word of God deceitfully. How do people handle the Word of God deceitfully? I had asked the Holy Spirit this, and this is what he said to me. Mingling. I said, "Lord, that's a funny word, mingling. I like saying it. It feels good in my mouth. Mingling." And so I looked it up. And it means taking two components and mixing them. So therefore, to handle the Word of God deceitfully is to mingle the Word of God. Take a component, call it the tradition of men. And then get the Word of God and mix them. And you have deceitfulness. Take the philosophies of this world and the Word of God and mingle them. You can always tell the people who have not died to self because they want to mix it up. Oh, don't shout me down. There are religions around the world that go into regions and pacify the inhabitants of the nationals of that country with their religion, and they allow them to bring their practices with them into their religion, mingling. May I offer this? Oh, many of us are filling church pews today, not by preaching the unadulterated, uncompromised Word of God, but by mingling. Because people feel more comfortable when we can bring in their lifestyle into the kingdom and mingle it. You see, if the heart is not true to God, the life will not be true to His Word. And finally, number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 17b. But we're not as so many peddling the Word of God, but as sincerity. But as from God we speak in the sight of God in Christ. We speak in the sight of God in Christ. We speak. We declare. We confess. We open our mouths in the sight of God and in Christ. Little song we sing in the nursery with the children. My little granddaughter Emma's picked up on it very well. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. There's a God up above and He's looking down in love. So be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little feet, where you go. You see, we believe that to be true, but yet many of us allow words out of our mouth in His presence that are offensive to Him. The 6th step to triumph is living in the presence of God. How do I live in the presence of God? Do I have to have music playing all day long? Do I have to be singing hallelujah all day long? Do I have to read my Bible all day long? Or do I have to develop a consciousness that God is with me? You know, I think it's the latter. That God is with me. And that I am in the presence of God. And I am in Christ. And therefore, I speak in the sight of God and in Christ. Listen to what John said in chapter 15, verse 17. If you abide, let's read it together. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire and it will be done for you. What is he saying? He's saying vanquishing power comes through connection. I was speaking with a pastor yesterday evening. He was driving in from Wadsworth. He was on the road. I was on my cell phone. We were conversing about a very important matter, about his future and about his church. We were dialoguing back and forth, and suddenly I could hear interference. We were losing our connection. I said, Pastor, I'm losing you. Just call me back. I'm trying to get in the last word before I lose the connection. Have you ever had that experience? What about spiritually? You're trying to get the last word into God, but you're losing your connection. The connection is because there's interference between where you are and where He is. What are you connected to this morning? I learned a song early when I was first saved. It says, I have decided to follow Jesus. And it said this, though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back. No turning back. You see, make a decision to get connected. And don't allow any interference in your life. That's where John wrote this. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So I have to make a determination today. If you don't come with me, I'll have to say goodbye. If you won't contribute to this connection, I'll have to say so long. If you're running interference, if that thing is causing me to lose my connection, I must say goodbye. Because I have decided to follow Jesus. This is what made the difference in the crowd that day. Many had gathered, many sang Hosanna, but only a few walked in triumph. Today I want to invite you to take these six steps. And when you reach the end of all that you can do, expect that God will do only what He can do. For if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Always leading us into triumph. Look at somebody and say, I'm on my way. I'm on my way. Where are you going? I'm on my way to triumph. Well, you don't look like a triumphal guy right now. Well, you keep your eye on me there, buddy. And it won't be long. I'm going to be triumphal. I'm a winner. I'm victorious in Christ. And I expect to finish this race with a crown of victory that I'm going to give to Jesus. Can you give Him praise this morning? Hallelujah. I love the scripture in our text in verse 12. Paul opens up this whole dialogue. Look at it. He tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12. He said, When I came to Troas, Asia Minor, God opened up a window. God opened up a door of opportunity for me. I did a little research on that area of the world. And Troas was known as a port town. And it controlled the straits of that particular region of shipping. The flow of goods. And Paul said, I came to that city where they had worshiped pagans, where they did not know God, where there was a struggle. I'm talking to somebody right now. Where there was a struggle for control over the flow. And some of you came to church today and there's a struggle for control over the flow of life. In you. You're being contended with. You're being sought after. And there's war. And there's struggle over control. Who's going to control the life flow out of you, boy? Paul said, I came into this region. And God opened the door of opportunity for me to preach this gospel. Now, this door is wide open for you and you and you and me. It is the same opportunity that Paul had. He said, I have been given an opportunity to control my own flow. What's controlling yours? What thing is it that's conquered you? You are a woman of destiny, a man of destiny. And this door of opportunity has opened up for you and me today on this Palm Sunday, this great triumphal entry of Christ Sunday, to control our own destiny. Bow your heads with me, please. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, I pray now, Lord God, what is at stake here is not only six steps to triumph, but control of the life flow of a man and a woman, a boy or a girl, where the devil himself has set his own agenda to control that person's life. I pray now that the apostolic anointing of Paul, the apostolic anointing that rested on the fathers of the church, that is present here this morning, would open up that door of opportunity for us to say no more to the world, no more to the devil, no more to my own lusts and desires. But rather, Father, today I would step in one more time, the seventh step, giving you complete, total victory in Jesus' name. With our heads bowed, our eyes are closed, you say, Pastor, I need Christ. I need to be in Christ. I've been close, I've been near, I've been around Him, but I want to be in Christ. Pray for me today. You see, you're just moments away from triumphal entry. You're just moments away. You'll have to determine who you are in this great crowd. Are you a skeptic? Are you agnostic? Are you an atheist? Are you affiliated with some religion of man? Or has the Holy Spirit bore witness in your heart that Christ, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God? And if He is, then serve Him. You say, today, Pastor, I need that prayer. Would you pray for me? All over this room, I'm going to ask you to do something on the count of three. I want you to boldly declare by the hand upraised that yes, I am making a decision to follow after Jesus Christ. I am going to serve God and serve God alone. Are you ready? One, two, three. If that's you, hold it up all over this room. Now, if you've got your hand up, I want you to stand up. Then I want everybody to stand up, and I want the altar ministers to come along the line of this front of this building as quickly as you can. And those of you that raise your hand, I want you to stand. I want you to come and pray with someone this morning that you're making that decision. You're taking the six steps and you're going to wait on God for the seventh step for the complete and total victory in your life. Now, Father, have your way. Draw them by your Spirit, God. Not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, God. Draw them, Lord Jesus. Call them to come out, Father, from where they've been. Cause them, oh God, to rise up to another level. Let Jesus Christ be the Lord of their life today, Father. Oh God, we give you all thanks and glory in the name of Jesus. Come on, lift up your hands and begin to worship Him. Oh, begin to worship Him. Come on, worship Him. Worship Him. Begin to worship Jesus. We worship Jesus. We worship Jesus. I don't know what you're waiting on, sir. I don't know how many more times you'll hear this gospel message. But God's grace is in this room now. And He's calling you. Now, lady, listen to me. God's calling you. Why are you waiting? This is our last appeal. This is our last call. Don't let it be your last. Come now. Look at somebody around you. Say, do you need that prayer? I'll go with you. Do you need that prayer? I'll go with you. Take them by the hand and walk them down that aisle and say, let's go. Let's make these six steps. Let's get into the seventh one. Let's believe God for the mercy and the miraculous in your life this morning. Come on. Come on. Bring them. Come on. Bring them. Go ahead and worship. Hallelujah. Come on. Bring them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I see the King of glory. see the King? Do you see the King of glory? Yes, you do. Come on, the whole earth worships. Yes, God, we worship you, Jesus. Oh, we glow. We come. We believe.
His love and mercy.
Do the miraculous in here.
Is washing over.
Release your supernatural power, God.
The people say,
in the name of Jesus, we give you glory.
Say,
come on, sing it one last time. Hosanna.
Hosanna. Hosanna.
A big shout and a hand clap of thanks. Can we do that? Come on. Yeah, you are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, Jesus. We glorify your name, Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to live right, love everybody, and pray real hard. We don't have a Thursday night service, but Friday night is Good Friday. So be a part of this great communion service, 7 o'clock. Love on somebody, because God's loving on you. See you next time.